Welcome to another message from the heart. Life-changing messages from the heart of Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Coast Church, Wumbai. And now, here's Pastor Brown with another message from the heart.
If I was to give my message a title today, and I'm not really good at titles, I would say, Interrupted by Divine Appointments. How does that sound? Interrupted by divine appointments. Our ordinary lives interrupted by an extraordinary God through divine appointments. That's what my heart is. And I'm going to join two lots of the word today, which is not quite normal, but I'm not quite normal. But I'd like us to look at two parts of Scripture and just to see where Father's going. Paul wrote the first and second book of Timothy to Timothy. Timothy was his beloved true son, he said. He was his spiritual son. You could say that Paul was Timothy's mentor. We would use that term today. Timothy was quiet, young, and Paul wrote these books to exhort him and to encourage him. Encourage Timothy in the mission that God had called him to. He was facing a very heavy burden at the Church of Ephesus. And Paul wrote this book to encourage his heart. But as we go through the first and second book of Timothy, we come to the second book and chapter 3. And this is where I want to start today. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times of great stress will come." Who believes we're in the last days? Oh, a few of you have got your hand up. Who believes we're in the last days? Yes, we are. I truly believe it. We are closer to midnight than we think. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Sounds like the newspaper, doesn't it? Sounds like the media that puts on the TV every day. There's just so much happening in our world today that is not of God. But you know the amazing thing about this scripture? It wasn't written to the world. It was written to Christians. Because it was written while Timothy was in Ephesus. And that makes it a little bit difficult, doesn't it? A lot of the commentaries say that this is the apostate church that's arising. It is arising all across the world. But we are the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Whether you're male or female, you fit into that place. I think it's a bit harder for a man to understand that. But Jesus says we are all the bride of Christ. We have many parts, and those parts make a whole. And Paul was saying to Timothy, don't worry, this is what's going to happen. But if we go down, and I can imagine Timothy saying, well, how do you combat that? What do you do in your own life to overcome the draw of what the world is calling us into and what the apostate church is saying about things today? We have the answer in that same chapter. And the answer is in verse 14. You know, it was very interesting. There was a time when I looked at these words one by one, and I was going through a very difficult time with one of my family that had rejected me, and I couldn't understand why. I thought, Lord, what is it? What have I done? And the Lord led me to this word, and he said, look at the word unloving. And I looked up that one word, unloving, and you know what it means. And it gave me understanding. It actually means no natural love in the family. We can see that today, can't we? We can see mothers and fathers brokenhearted, children out on the streets, all these awful things that are happening. But we have an answer. God has given us an answer. And he says to us in verse 14, as for you, Timothy, and I put all of us in this verse, continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of them, knowing from whom you have learnt them. That from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then we come to verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? And this is the key, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, God has given us the answer in how we can withstand what is happening around us. It's continue in the Word of God. Continue moment by moment, day by day in God's Word. And God's Word will protect you. God's word will uphold you. God's word will set you on the rock, and you will not fail. You will not be drawn into those things. And Timothy says, and Paul says to Timothy, why? So that we can be the hands and the feet and the heart and the love of a loving God to a world that is broken apart. We have a choice today as the body of Christ. We have a choice, and we can say, well, I'm just going to go on my merry way. But God is calling his bride. He's calling his beautiful one to rise up with a word and be all that he's asked us to be. I love Pastor Darren's heart that he wants to touch the community for Jesus. That needs to be our heart. That needs to be our heart. We need to have a heart that says, Father, 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 here I am, send me. Interrupted by divine appointments. Interrupted by divine appointments. The scriptures are full of divine appointments. These are ordinary men and women in this Bible that we read day after day. They're like you and I. They're just ordinary people. My precious mum, who's nearly 91, she says, Melva, we are the extension of the Word of God to those around us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? She's got dementia, but she still believes it. We are the extension of a loving God to a world that is crippled, to a world that is being trod down, to a world that is crying out with hopelessness. We have within our heart the courage and the hope to give to those around about us today. We have it. Jesus didn't come for people to serve him. He came to be a server to others. Hey, morning, prayed exactly those words, and my heart leapt because I said, Lord, that's my confirmation of what you want to speak today. Thank you, Hayden. God is crying out, I believe, through the power of the Holy Spirit to each one of us today. And he's saying, will you allow me? Will you allow me to be in all I am, in and through each one of you? All scripture is given for inspiration. Why? That we will be equipped to do the work of the Father. Now, I want to tie this up today with probably a very unlikely scripture, but one that I believe is for today, as never before. And I want us to look today at Luke chapter 10. And you all know this. It's a Sunday school story. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. It's the story of three different men, or four really. And it's the story of whether they made the mark or whether they missed it. They had the opportunity. I know it's a parable, but it's a parable that we need to learn from today. And I'm just going to, excuse me, I'm just going to go through it verse by verse. And we're going to start at verse 25 today. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, when I look at that scripture, one of the first things I see is I. Now, the lawyer, we know that they were the scribes. They were brilliant. They knew the law backwards and forwards. They knew everything. They knew all the tricks. They knew everything about the law. And Jesus. But you know, I believe that he came in a form of respect, because he called Jesus teacher. He said, Teacher, what can I do to inherit eternal life? I could imagine he'd lived his whole life by the laws, by the rules and the regulations. And Jesus, in his wisdom, answered his question with a question. He said, What is written in the law? What's written in the Word of God? What is your reading of it? He said. And the scribe said, Well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself. We brush aside that sometimes. I know I have in the past. In the Old Testament, the word neighbour is ria, and it has the connotation of being a neighbour to those people that are just around you. And so the scribes and Pharisees took that, added a few different rules of their own, and so their neighbour became only fellow Jews and proselytes that had changed to Judaism. That was who was their neighbour. And Jesus said, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. Well, that would have been a bit hard for that fella to listen to, because he knew all the teachings. He knew what God was saying to him. And he said, Well, hang on. He was trying to justify himself. And he said to Jesus, Well, who is my neighbour? All the time. Who is my neighbour? Well, I love Jesus because he gave him a parable to understand. And he said, and I've got to get this right. I've left my notes somewhere. They're here. A certain man, he said, went from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. We're told that this man was coming down from Jerusalem. And that's an interesting little word there, that down. I'll tell you in a moment. Now by chance, you can imagine the poor old fella, beaten, naked, sitting by the road or laying by the road, blood, dirt, an incredible place of pain he was in, near death even. Now, by chance, Jesus said, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He was a priest. He was the one that took the blood and poured it on the altar to atone for the sins. Was he walking past? We can think about all sorts of things. Was he walking past because he didn't want to be ceremonial unclean? Because if you touched a body as a Jew, you would be. Was he just finishing his time of service at the temple? We don't know. But a priest would have a roster system, and they would go to the temple and then they would go home for their next roster system. So they lived pretty ordinary lives when they weren't functioning as a priest in the temple. But it was important enough for Jesus to say, he looked at him and he walked by. Could you imagine that poor man there thinking, wow, someone's come to help me? Have you ever been on the road stuck and you think, oh, there's a car coming, and they just go straight past? I have. It's quite scary. And then, of course, we've got the Levite. When he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Well, this man did another step. He looked. Now, the Levite was the worshipper in the temple. The Levite was the one that maintained the temple. He did all the work for the priest. So he looked and he walked past. They were both Jews. They walked past. And I think that's so painful. I have three things in my life that I love. And this is not counting Merv and my family. It's my love of the presence of God. I love the presence of God. I love forgiveness. I know what forgiveness has done in my heart and my life. And I love caring and sharing. So this is why this point of scripture is so important. The Levite and the priest walk past, Jesus said. Did they think they were better than them? Were they just indifferent? There was a lot of thieving and that going around in those days. What was it that caused them to just go past? We're not told, but we can imagine many things. Perhaps they were too busy. They had duties that they had to attend to. Whatever the reasons could go on and on and on and on. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Compassion. It's God's motivating work. He had compassion on him. Now, the poor old Samaritan was the least likely person to ever minister to a Jew, or the Jew to the Samaritan. They were at opposite ends of the spectrum. The Samaritan was despised by the Jews. They were considered as half-caste. And one of the reasons they were despised by the Jews was because they went out and they took Gentile brides. And so they intermingled the mix. They set up their own places of worship. which became idolatrous. And Jesus gives us this example of this despised man who reaches down and touches. He touches this bloodied man with compassion. And he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Do you know what the oil and wine signify? The wine was a disinfectant. And the oil eats the pain. He set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And then on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, 2 days' wages. Wow, how much do we get for wages today? You know, it's quite a lot. And this man gave 2 days' wages to the person that would have been despised if he was functioning whole. And it wasn't that. And then he went further. He said, "Look, take care of him," he said to the innkeeper. "Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And the scribe said he couldn't even bring his name to mention the word Samaritan. It couldn't come on his lips because of his standing. But he did say, "He who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Wow, that's a strong word, isn't it? It's a strong word when you tie it together with 2 Timothy 3. It's a strong word. I think of the world out there today. I think of the people that are broken. I think of all those precious souls, the young children that have been denied teaching in schools about Jesus, will grow up to not even know that there is such a thing as a God. The innkeeper was a very generous, caring person. His promise to continue the care, even though he had no security that the Samaritan would return. Jesus said to the scribe, "Start living your life as the Lord tells you to do. Broaden your understanding of the word neighbor." That's what he's saying. I look at this parable and I see 2 people that had a choice, that missed their divine appointment, and 2 people that met their divine appointment. And it's interesting that those that you didn't expect were the ones that reached out and touched the heart and the life of those that were kneeling. And isn't it the least likely that reaches out today? Like, we are, as far as the world's concerned, less than citizens. There is so much persecution today around the world of Christians. It's heartbreaking. I was talking to a lady on Friday, and she said, if people only knew what was happening in Israel, every day people are being slaughtered in the streets, but you never hear it on the news. And you know, we look at our, even the Sunshine Coast here, and there are people hiding in their rooms, hiding in their homes, not able to reach out because they can't. They need someone like the Good Samaritan to come in and bend down and pick them up and say, "God loves you. God is here for you." I love this lesson that God gives us. This parable is saying love has to be more than words. I love people, not as much as my lovely Merv does. I like my times in quiet. But you can still call in any time. And I don't know, but somebody says, how are you? Are you good? And what's the answer? Yes, I'm fine. Do you know, I've broken through that. Because I look at people's body language and I can see, no, you're not fine. And I'll say to them again, are you really fine? And they know I know. And then they begin to pour their heart out. And I don't have all the answers. None of us have all the answers for what God wants, but He does. He is a wonderful God who knows everyone intimately by the hairs on their head. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian. Isn't that a big God? Isn't that a wonderful God? And He says to us, will you reach down like the Samaritan and lift up those that are brokenhearted? Will you look at what's happening in the body of Christ? People are in pain. Alistair Petrie said, today as never before, we need to make room for God's strategies in our life. Ooh. Think about that. Uninterrupted divine appointments, or interrupted divine appointments. God has many divine strategies for us if we will open our heart and say, yes, Lord, I'm available. We have five senses in the natural. Help me. Ears, eyes, taste, smell, touch. And do you know we have five senses, the same five senses in the spirit? We have God's eyes, God's ears, God's touch, God's taste, thank you. And God's nose. How's that? I thought that was quite funny. Thank you. God doesn't call us to do something unless He equips us. And what did we read in Timothy 16 and 17? Yes, He gives us the word of God. Why? To be fully equipped to do the work of the kingdom. Now, you may be sitting there and saying, yeah, but you don't know my life. I'm so busy. Oh, aren't we all? Aren't we all? But God is saying today, will you allow me to interrupt your life and my life with divine appointments? I know there's some people in this room, I've been talking with them and we've been working through issues, and they have allowed God to interrupt their life with divine appointments, and the fruit is wonderful. You see the little bits of fruit? We never see the fruit. But if we just do our little bit, Father does the rest. Is that true? It's true, isn't it? Now, you're all looking very worried and you're saying, Melva, that's a terrible hard message for us. You just don't know where I am at the moment. I'm too old. Well, hang on a minute. Abraham was old. He fathered a nation. He probably enjoyed that. Sarah was old. I can't imagine Sarah being thrilled at giving birth at that age. Come on, girls, could you? You older ladies, no. Moses was 80 in the backside of the desert. We're never too old. Never too old. Never, ever, ever too old. James Goss says the gospel is only good news if it arrives on time. Ooh. I'll let that one sit a little bit. The gospel is only good news if it arrives on time. So God is saying to you today and to me, because I fail sometimes, you know, Lord, is that you? Melva, I want you to go and talk to such and such. Well, is that you, Lord? No, that's the devil. That's the devil making me think that. And so therefore I make it null and void. And the saddest thing, I heard a lady say a couple of months ago that it's 20 years since God gave her a divine appointment that she missed and she's never forgotten it. I think I've got a couple. We've probably all got some, you know. But God is saying, body, bride, will you arise with me today? And ask me for divine appointments every moment of every day. Walking with Jesus is the thrill of the road least travelled. Do you want me to say that again? Yes, somebody's. Walking with Jesus is the thrill of the road least travelled. It's exciting. Put you out a bit. But Jesus was put out when he went to the cross. I don't think he was. He did it for you and I. And for the whole world. Because his heart is so full of love for each of us. And he wants us to have that same heart today. Now, I want to tell you a couple of stories about my divine appointments and Merv's. And then I'm going to ask my dear friend, I've asked Pastor Darren if this was all right, and he said he trusted me. How's that? So, my friend over there, most of you will know Isabella. Some of you don't. She's an amazing woman of God. I've watched her grow in 30-odd years, and you know, she just flies with the Lord. She sits with the Lord every day, just seeking his heart. But she has a couple of divine appointments that she's going to share, and they're not hard. It was very interesting. Merv and I were on holidays. We were down at South Australia, and, you know, Lord, divine appointments, come on. But you forget about it, eh? Because we're just walking through our life. And it was a couple of years ago now, to be honest. And we went into a bookshop, a Christian bookshop, because we were looking for a book, a particular book, to give a lady. Same book. And anyway, they didn't have that book. But anyway, we got talking with this older gentleman, and we had the good, you know, wonderful day, all that sort of stuff. And we walked out. And Merv is a very quick walker. You know, if you ever walk with Merv, you walk about 20 steps back. And I'm saying, Merv, and he didn't hear me. Because God had spoken to my heart and he said, go back and pray for that man. And so it wasn't until we were nearly at the car, I caught up with Merv and I said, Merv, I believe the Lord wants us to go back and pray. And he said, I think you're right. So we turned around and he got there before me. And we prayed and we went in and we said, look, could we please pray for you today? And Merv, as he does, you pray. Most men do that, don't they? And so I was so privileged because I prayed a prayer that I had no idea what, but I prayed that prayer and everything I prayed in that prayer was what that man was going through. And he grabbed me, literally grabbed me when I finished the prayer, and he said, I'm going to tell you everything now. He said, that prayer was amazing. And he shared with us how he'd been separated. He said, I did some terrible things to my daughters. And he said, I want to make amends, but there's no door open. And the Lord led me. He said, I've got a $10,000 check that I want to give her. And I said, money will never make up for it, but God's love will. And the Lord gave me a word for him and he said, it's new beginnings for you. That was it. We walked away. Have no idea what happened. Father does. We don't have to know the answer to our divine appointments. the next time we were away on holidays again, we were at a, I'd gone shopping and standing at the checkout as we do, and this lovely little girl, well, she's little to me, she's probably about 30, she was standing, you can laugh, Catherine. She was standing there and she was going through her shopping and she had the two most beautiful little girls in the trolley. And she could, you could see that she was weighing up stuff. Anyway, she put all the stuff through and I could hear her. You can't help hearing when you're the next person. And I could hear that she was struggling because there was something wrong with the cash card and the money wasn't there to pay the bill. And there was one particular item in that thing that she wanted. It was to do with the hair. That's important for us girls. Anyway, three times they tried to put this card through and three times it was rejected. So she put this hair piece back, this thing for hair back, and off she went. She was happy. There was no down face. Anyway, it was my turn and I said, it just happened. I said, what's that item that young lass put back? It was $8 something. I said, put it on my tab. And as the girl was ringing up the rest of the stuff, I raced outside and I said, here you are, sweetheart. This is for you. And I raced back again. That's it. I just left her. And I finished doing what we were doing. I was doing. And I picked up my bags and I was heading up this way and the girl was here. And the Holy Spirit stopped me and he said, go back. Go back. And talk to her and tell her why you did it. Oh, I had to go back. And there was an older lady talking to her and she said, this is the most beautiful girl. And the girl turned around to me and she said, I can't believe you did that. And I said, I just wanted to bless you, sweetheart. And when I said that, she said, you don't understand. She said, I've been crying out to God. I've been ministering to this couple and they're draining me. And I didn't know whether to continue or whether not. And I said, God, if you want me to continue, you have to bless me today, please. Divine appointment. Interrupted, yes. Cost me a bit. Well, Merv and I. But it was a divine appointment nonetheless. And then Merv's had a divine appointment. We go down to this wonderful place down on the river. We've got so many people coming there now. They run out of food. That's really, really economical, great food. Talk to Merv after if you want to know where it is. And Merv said, I'll take you out for lunch, sweetheart. No, breakfast, wasn't it, Merv? Breakfast, it was breakfast. Take you out for breakfast, sweetheart. So here I am. We've got a table for two. Oh, this is lovely. Table for two. Anyway, Merv turns around and here's this gentleman all by himself. All by himself. And we were having a lovely little chatty-chatty and Merv turned around and he said, I've got to go and speak to that man. He did. He went and he came back, I think, didn't you, Merv? He came back and he was eating his breakfast. He said, I've got to go back, he said. And you know, I sat there and had my breakfast alone for over half an hour. But you know, God gave Merv a divine appointment. And that man was amazed because Merv shared with him about the return of the Lord. He shared with him, he was the man that had gone to a different church, never ever heard about the fact that Jesus is coming again. He was amazed. We haven't seen him again. It's an interruption. Huh, here I am thinking I'm going to have a wonderful breakfast with my husband and he's off talking to someone else. It's usually us girls that do that, isn't it? I can see you. But you know, God is calling us to a place and he's saying, will you allow me to interrupt your life? Oh, where some of us are so set in our ways. Isabella, would you come? Isabella has three divine appointments. Now, this lady goes to the unlovely. She goes to the unlovely. She sees with God's ears and eyes. Isabella, now you have to speak slowly.
I have been warned. Right. Is that okay?
Yes.
Now, because I speak Scottish, I have been warned, please speak slow. And I get excited because I just love Jesus so much that I want everybody to know it. But I will speak slow for your, on your behalf. When Melvor asked me to... Now, is this okay? Is it the right? How's that? Is that better? Okay, thanks. I'm looking at your sound man at the back there. He's giving me all the thumbs up. Okay? All right. I don't want to go boom, boom, boom around like that. Anyway, I asked Melvor, when Melvor asked me to do this, I says, well... which one?
That's it.
Yeah. She says, well, I says, I've got that many of them, I don't know which one to give you. Because I get divine appointments every day. And Melvor says, well, whatever, give me that one and that one. It's okay. So I slipped in another one. You know, some time ago, I was in the hospital. It was only a year after my husband passed away. And I was in the hospital having my gallbladder removed. And I was in agony, as you would know, people that's done it. But I know of quite a few people in this room, but those that you don't know, it's been, you don't know me. You'll know me by the time, but after this, I'm telling you now. Anyway, and I was in agony. And I heard this old lady at the end. If you've heard this before, the ones that know me, it doesn't matter. You can hear it anyway. She was at the end of the hospital, in the bed, right next to the window. And she was giving the staff a really, really hard time. And I thought, oh, Lord, I says, can you just bless that old lady up there? And I was in agony anyway. I was having this... agony. I'm thinking, Lord, please heal me. You could heal me. I know you could just do that right now. And I'm on the drip and I was ready for surgery, but they hadn't put the gowns on me yet. So I thought, I've got to go out of this bed. So I gets out the bed and I'm praying, I said, oh God, help me. And I'm walking over to the window and this old lady, she's raving onto the poor nurses and doctors. I felt so sorry for them in the end. I was praying for them because of this old lady. So I gets over to the old lady and she grabbed me like this and she said, I know that you know God. Can you pray for me? Well, I nearly collapsed right then and there with the drip in my hand. And I thought, oh, I said, yes, I do know God. She says, I've got a blockage somewhere in my body and they can't find it. I says, well, God can find it. So I sat, and you know, the amazing thing was, as soon as I sat down on that bed, all the pain left my body. I mean, I still had to go to surgery after it, because as soon as I stood up, it all come back. But anyway, I said, okay, I'll pray for you. I didn't pray in the spirit or anything like that. I just prayed nice and softly and slowly so she could understand every word I said. And I just prayed for her and I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just get this blockage right out of her body right now in Jesus' name. And I prayed for the peace of God for her. And she says, oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I said, okay, lovey, I'm going. So I went back. And the minute I went back to bed, the pain came back. And then the sisters came in and took me to surgery. Anyway, I said to my friend, you've got an assignment to do. Joyce, who everybody knows Joyce. A lot of people know Joyce because she's all been stuck to me for the last 16 years. And she goes, what is it? I says, there's a lady in here. I want you to visit her. Because she needs company, she needs help. Okay. I said, so I'll be out to you for about 24 hours or 2 days or something. Yes, you have to do it. Okay. So she goes over and she talks to her and that. I came out and this old lady thought I was going home. But when Joyce told her that I was only in the next ward, she wanted to see me. So she came down, and that Joyce took her down, because Joyce was there quite a lot now, it was good. And the two of them came into the ward, and I'd had the surgery, I'd woken up after being delirious for about how long? The swag anesthetic doesn't do good for me. I talk a lot of rubbish anyway. So I was talking more faster than then, I tell you. Anyway, I was wide awake, and she said, "I need to tell you something." I says, "What?" And she says, "The doctors came that afternoon, they gave her some, whatever it was, and they found the blockage in her body." Now, I praise God for that, because it doesn't matter what you're doing or how you're feeling. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. You know, when I am standing in front of you, a miracle of God's grace. Because when before I became a Christian, I was so scared of my own shadow. I ended up, when I was younger, I was in a sanitarium for a year because they thought I had TB. I was so taken away from the world, taken away from my family. I'm one of 10, and I'm the second oldest. And I was just taken away and stuck in this sanatorium. A year I was in there, I was so scared of everything, my own shadow. And then I grew up, of course, terrified of anything and everything, anything that moved. And then I met my husband, grew up, met my husband, came to Australia. And then I accepted Jesus. And when I accepted Jesus, he filled me with a love that I have never in my heart, in my life, know, as you all know. But sometimes we forget our first love. We forget when the first day that we accepted Jesus, that love should be still in you every day from the rest of your life. As soon as you accept Jesus, it's all about him and not about us at all. It's all about God's people. I'll tell you another one. I took one of my friends to the shops. This is going further down the track. This is not that long ago. And I was taking her, I said, "Right, okay, this is not Joyce, this is somebody else." And she says, "Oh, I'll go in the back, in the other side." Okay, this is Nambour. And there was a lady, I don't know where she came from, I haven't a clue. She was standing at my car, and Linda says to me, "Does a lady want a lift?" And I'm saying, "Where?" I couldn't see her. She was a little tiny thing. So I goes round, and she's standing on the pavement, and she said, "Do you think you can give me a lift to the shops, please?" I said, "Oh yeah, of course I can." She says, "I've just came from hospital." And I thought, I've never seen any ambulances or any taxis or anything. She says, "And I need to get to this place where the shops are on a certain seat. Somebody's coming to pick me up." I said, "Okay, no problem." So I got her in the car, very slowly. She goes, "I've been sick, I've got cancer." I said, "All right, okay." And I said, "Would you like us to pray for you?" She goes, "Yes, yes, that would be lovely." Anyway, I prayed for her. She says, "Oh, thank you so much. I feel so much better already." She says, "Could you just take me?" So I took her to the shops, helped her out of the car, sat her on the seat. She says, "Thank you so much, lovey." Then I left. And I don't know what God's done for that. That could mean an angel for all I knew. Do you know that today there's angels right around this room, especially when you were worshipping the Lord. There's angels all over this place. And when you come in here and you have a heavy heart, you don't take it out the door where you come in. You stand up here and you get prayer from the saints of God. That's what you do. You don't take it home with you so that something else can dump on you and something else. I'm going on. Sorry, Melva. I've just warned my daughter up there, my gorgeous daughter. She talks Scottish as well, mind you. She's been here since she was two. And I says, "Give me time. Just send me time when I'm going overboard." Anyway, so that was it. Now, the last one I want to share with you is my next door neighbour. Now, I'm in an over 50s retirement village at Forest Glen. And when I went in there, they all hated each other. And I thought, I've never been in a place like this before. I thought, this is terrible. Because 6 years before that, there was a big split in the community. And this one didn't fall out with that. And it was just awful. And I said, and I knew that that's God, where God wanted me. I knew it. And I said, "Oh God, what will I do now? I don't know what to do. I don't know anybody in this place." Anyway, I didn't know, I mean, I'm telling a lie, I didn't know the person next to me, next door, and I said, "Do you think if I have an afternoon tea, would people come?" because I knew that nobody was going to anything. And she says, but you've only been here 3 weeks. When you get into retirement, it takes you years to fit into something. And she goes, I says, well, it doesn't matter. Try it anyway. I said, okay. So I put a notice on the notice board. And afternoon tea, between 2 and 5, I says, a problem, nobody will come. 22 people arrived. You can imagine the size of my house, 2-bedroom house. So I thought, right, I had chairs. I went to Beth. I said, Beth, I need all your chairs, quick. She's got all these little chairs that slots in. And then I stood back and I listened. And this one was saying, I haven't seen you for that long. The only street up, they only stay up the street from each other. I mean, you're one street, that's all it is. I haven't said, oh, you're looking good. Oh, you didn't look so well this morning. Oh, no. And I'm looking at all. And my sister was over here from Scotland, my other sister. And she's an entertainer. And she was, I said, right. Okay, give me quick a cappella stuff. Give us a real sing song. Well, they were all singing their hearts out and clapping. And they said to me when they were leaving, that's the first time in 6 years that we've had a great day like that. When God does something, he does it. And he does it well. And your eyes have got to be opened and your heart's got to be opened for the love of God's people. It's God's love that breaks down every barrier and every single and every person. You can get into the most unloving people, but you give them something in your hand, take them something and say, here, this is for you. Even if they don't like you very much, I tell you what, they come round fast. Anyway, the next door neighbour, this is Mick, I'm finishing, Melva. She's giving a look. Anyway, 1 minute left. She's got 1 minute left. I've got my time sheet, I've got a time clock up there. Anyway, my next door neighbour's son was very, very ill. And he was coming back and forward, back and forward, back and forward. And I goes in and when he come home one day, I thought, I've got to get him flowers. So I went in, got some flowers for Linda, and I just says, look, here's a card for me. And I says, how are you doing, darling? Oh, he says, oh, I'm sick of this. He was very, 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 very ill. Anyway, cut a long story short, I've been looking after Linda. I've just been in saying hi. She's one of these ladies that keeps herself, doesn't like to suck out. So she's very inward lady, very. But she's a Christian, she loves Jesus. Anyway, I said to her, well, look, if you need me, you know what I am. Yeah, but she never did. And then her son got really, very ill, and he was in hospital intensive care. And I went in to see her, and she says, oh, he's not very, very long to live. He's very, very ill. And I said, look, I am here. If you need me, I'm here. Anyway, one morning at 7 o'clock, I was supposed to go for a blood test the next day, so I had to fast. So 7 o'clock, she was at my door. And she says, could you come with me? I've been called to the hospital. My son has had a massive bleed and he's not expected to live. I said, okay, I'm coming. But I says, there's only one thing you need to do for me. What? You need to take me to the blood place because I have to give blood before I go. She goes, okay, I'll do that. So we went over to Forest, Chancellor Park, and out came the arm here. So we went up there and we weren't allowed in. They had to clean all the place up. Any nurses in here would know what I'm talking about. You had this massive bleed. Anyway, we were in the lounge and then they called us in. He says, he's awakened. He's awakened now. You can see him now. Okay, so he goes in. And because I had been talking to him and I'd been silently praying for him, I go to the bottom of the bed like this. And his mum, Linda, went here. And he's looking at me and he's looking at me like this. And I'm praying inwardly. Praying for his salvation because he wasn't a Christian. And I thought, wow, Lord Jesus, I says, right, you need to do something here because I had this heaviness. Anyway, it goes, and I'm praying like anything. So I go to the side and he goes, and he's following me the whole way. And then his mother goes, oh, yeah, you remember Isabella next door, but yeah, all that. And then he turns and looks at the sister who's doing all this work on him. And he says, Darren, are you humming a tune? And he was going, like this. And then the doctor said, called us outside and says, if he has another massive bleed or if he's upset, you'll have to leave immediately. Okay. So when I thought, when she said that, he's humming at you, I knew he'd accepted Jesus. I knew it. The weight had just went I thought, Lord, he's in heaven. Oh, you're taking him. He's right here. You're right here. Lord Jesus, you're here and the angels are here. I was so excited about this young man. Anyway, he started getting upset, getting really agitated and upset, and they took us out the room. But we're in the lounge and the sister came in and says, I'm very sorry, but your son has just passed away. And Linda said, I've only one thing I want to ask you. And they says, can you tell me, I want to know if this God's angels was in that room. And the sister says, I'm telling you now, there was loads of angels in there because we all felt them. How about that? Now I just want to leave now with scripture. God is a good God. He is looking for people that want to do his work. He loves you so much that he died on that cross. I'm telling you. Psalm, if you want to take this down, Psalm 50, it's in the Message Bible. No, where is it? The Compassion Bible. Hold on, I'll just fix this. Psalm 25, 4 to 6. And it says, and I love this scripture. And I asked the Holy Spirit years ago to help me do this. I want God's heart. I want God's love in my heart. That when I love people, I hurt inside because I love people so much. It's really hard to understand, but I do. I can't help it. But anyway, 4. Lord, direct me through my journey so that I can experience your plans for my life. Reveal the life paths that are pleasing to you. Escort me along the way. Take me by the hand and teach me. For you are the God of my increasing salvation. I have wrapped my heart in yours. Thanks.
You know, there were 4 people in that story, and we didn't really. And I said to the Lord, what do you want me to do, Father? And he said, there are people in this room today that are lonely, that are hurting, that feel naked and bare, and they need some love with skin on. When I was going through hard times, that was my cry. God, give me love with skin on. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Ka-ching, come on, play. And if you're hurting today, if you're lonely, if you're in pain of any sort, I want you to put your hand up today.
You've been listening to Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Coast Church, Wumbai, on the beautiful Sunshine Coast of Queensland, Australia. For more messages from the heart, transcripts, and other material, visit www.coastchurch.com.au or subscribe on podbean.com. See you next week on Messages from the Heart.